Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to the Josie Show tonight. Now in our 11th year, my guests this evening are the great Don Elbrecht, the amazing bluegrass group Backline, and musical genius Nick Fihadjis. Yes, so I'm so excited to be able to talk with all three of these incredible guests, and we'll be right back after this. Will be here in just a moment, but before he joins us, I would like to talk a little bit about the Josie Music Awards. Remember that all of our nomination submission forms will be out in February 2020, so please make sure you keep a lookout at josiemusicawards.com. You can submit your material right there directly on the forms at the website for possible nomination in the 6th annual Josie Music Awards 2020. We'll also have performance applications out in February. So, you know, if you're interested in performing, you can put you can send us an audition tape there. And it's very easy to do. And we're so excited. We're already planning. We're in the planning phase of the sixth annual Josie Music Awards. I can't believe it's already the sixth annual. That's why I'm still just stunned. I can't even say it. It's just speeding by. But we are having so much fun with it. We're in the planning stages. We have our official date, September 5th, 2020. We are in talks now with Dollywood to see what we can do to, you know, put some oomph behind the show next year, because you know how we like to do some surprises and special things and add a few extra tidbits here and there. So we are working on that for some excitement for this upcoming event. So I'm very, very excited about that. Country Music Social is in the chat room. Hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining us here in the chat tonight. We appreciate it. We love hearing from all of you while we are live. It's so much fun to get the opportunity to chat with you all and catch up with you during our show. We have some exciting, fun things that we have tonight. I have a Three Musketeers bar. It is a happy day for moi. That's all I'm saying. Y'all know I have a sweet tooth, so this is very exciting. But we are looking forward to a great night full of interviews and music and chocolate. So we can't wait. How's everyone doing tonight? I hope everyone's doing amazing. It's Thursday night here, almost Friday, y'all. Then the weekend, everyone's going to get all ready for the weekend. I'm super, super excited about that. We've been having a blast lately because it was my mom's birthday, October 22nd. So we've been partying. We had some champagne last night. We are having the time of our lives, y'all. We're having some downtime, some exciting things in the works for the Josie Music Awards, for the Josie Show, for all of our brands. We are constantly adding new things, so you never know what we have next, but we're excited for what we have in store for all of you. We have some wonderful guests that are going to be joining us the final of this year, but also in 2020. So I am very, very excited about that. Country Music Social Friday here in the UK. Woo woo! Thank you for listening to us all the way from the UK. We appreciate it. Ken Meekin, that's who that is. He actually joined us all the way from the UK. He came to Dollywood in Tennessee to join us for the 5th annual Josie Music Awards. It was so nice to meet you finally. I feel like I've been talking to you on Facebook. It was great to finally get to see you in person. It was amazing. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful time. But it was just so lovely to see you. So thank you so much for coming all the way to Dollywood to celebrate independent artists with us. We truly, truly appreciate it. It means the world to us. It really, really does. Let's see what else has been going on in our world. We're doing some wedding planning. My goodness, so many things have been going on in our world between Josie Music Awards, the Josie Show interviews, and wedding planning. Our wedding is on August 1st, 2020. So we are actually going to be doing the wedding planning in the middle of the Josie Music Awards planning. So it's going to be quite interesting, if I do say so myself. We are planning two huge life-changing events all at the same, it's a month apart. So it's going to be quite interesting how we pull it off, but we're doing well so far. So knock on wood. We are looking forward to a great 2020. We're very excited about that. Halloween is coming up, woo-woo, which is my favorite. Okay. I love Halloween. One of my favorite, time of year, but also I love Christmas. Christmas is coming, which is also my second favorite. My mom's favorite is Thanksgiving, and we going to go all out for that turkey. She's got a big bird already. She does not mess around. She loves her Thanksgiving. So do I. And so we got some big events coming up. So what are y'all going to be for Halloween? Do you all know yet? Let me know in the chat room what y'all are going to be this Halloween. What should I be? That's what I want to know. What do you guys think that I should be? It's funny because I did a Halloween picture on Facebook as my profile picture, and everyone's like, oh, my goodness, you should play the Bride of Chucky. That's what I kept getting that I would be a great Bride of Chucky from that photo. Never know. Do they have a costume like that? Because they do? Well, then if they have that costume, I'm definitely going to check it out. Maybe I can dress up like that this year. That would be fun. I am definitely afraid of the movies, but I will definitely play. I will definitely play Bride of Chucky. I kind of do have that profile picture, actually, now that I look at it. I kind of do look a little like it. I should do it. Let's see here. Oh, and we also are planning some Halloween costumes for the doggies. So let's see here. It's for Toby. I'm thinking, I know it's lame, but I love the Halloween costumes for dachshunds. He's a little dachshund. I love the hot dog costumes. For some reason, I just love those kind of. I love those costumes so much. You know, a little mustard, a little ketchup. You know, and not real mustard ketchup. Just the costume, y'all. Just the costume. And then for Destiny, I don't know. We should make her be a little princess. We treat her like one, so she should probably be one. She should probably be one for Halloween. But yeah, give us some suggestions. What we should be for Halloween? What the pups should be for Halloween? What are y'all gonna be for Halloween? I want to know the information. Let me know. It looks like we may have had a time zone situation going on here. We may have had a problemo with that. You got a lot of time zones. Sometimes it can get confusing. I completely understand. But things happen. And we will see. Hopefully our first guest arrives. If not, then we will definitely reschedule. That is definitely not a problemo whatsoever. So we are looking forward to it. And if you want to follow us around, we are all over the interwebs. We just made an Instagram for The Josie Show, and that is The Josie Show Radio on Instagram. We are also on Facebook, facebook.com/Josie Show. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/Josie Show. So find us, connect with us. We would love to chat with y'all about our shows, about, you know, fun topics that we're going to have. We're going to bring back our question of the day. We're going to bring back some fun segments, all of that great stuff. So let us know what you want to hear on the show, who you want to hear from, who I should interview. Please let us know. We are always open to suggestions. We always want to include our audience. That's the most important thing for us. So please make sure you tune in. And also, if you're at josieshow.com right now, you can go through our upcoming guests, who's coming up next. We have a pretty much full roster for the rest of 2019. We're already looking for 2020, which is wonderful. So we have so many great artists coming on that I'm just so looking forward to catching up with. So many who have been on our show before, and then there's many, many new ones out there that are coming as well. So it's very, very exciting, which means more music, more interviews, more music. I'm ready for it. Bring it on. I love it. I just got a question here. When did you say again that the nomination submission forms will be up at the website? Okay, so the submission forms for the 6th Annual Josie Music Awards will be open in February 1st, 2020. All you have to do is go to josiemusicawards.com. You'll see the forms where you could submit all of your material, and that's all you have to do. It's super, super easy. It takes about five minutes max. It's super, super simple to do. And at that time, we'll also have the performance application up as well. So look for that. JosieMusicAwards.com, February 1st, 2020. Let's see. So we are very, very excited about that. Dun, dun, dun. All right. So really quickly here, I think Tina wanted us to pass it on to her. So let's bring on the belated birthday girl.
Tina Marie. Hey, everyone. Thank you, first off, so much. I still have to put a message up. I haven't gotten to that yet, but I want to thank you all so much for all of the wonderful birthday wishes, and it was just so sweet of you all. We had a great weekend, and I got sung to a couple times. I got sung to by Elvis, so, you know, it really doesn't get much better than that, in all honesty. So we're super excited about that. It was just so much fun. So thank you, everybody, and I'll put up a little message. I did go through and read everything, and, you know, so it was just so nice. So thank you all very, very much. We appreciate that. So Josie has talked to you all a little bit about, you know, the Josie Music Awards and the Josie Show and, you know, Country Blast Radio. We are consistently updating that as well. And, you know, so many other things we have going on. We've got some great goodies going out with Confidently Ready here in the next day or so. And just so many wonderful things happening with all of the brands. Indie Voice Magazine is getting ready to go to print. So it's so exciting. We'll have our first issue after the award show coming out. We're thrilled with that because we'll have some cool, you know, of course, pictures and fun things inside there too. So that'd be way awesome. You know, a couple times here in the past, we have alluded a little bit to the possibility of a new brand that we've been working on. And we just, you know, we've spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to make it great. It's been done over 1,000 different times, and we hadn't found the model that we liked so much out there. And you know us. We can't find something we like. We work hard to create it. That's just us. So, anyways, I think we figured it out. And I think that's what I'm so surprised by. So this is, you know, all kind of cryptic right now, but it'll all come to light here in the future, not too far off. But we did, I spent a lot of time, you know, working on a business model for this. And goodness, I think we probably spent years trying to figure this out so that we can do it and do it right and do it well for our independent family. And I think we have figured it out. So, you know, we're working on some property, and after that part's all said and done, we'll take our plan and our property and put everything together, and we'll start looking for, you know, financial backing, I think, is going to be the next thing where we try to figure out the financial side of it and getting it all started up. But once we do that, I think we're going to be on a roll. We spent a good, goodness, I want to say probably 8 of our 11 years trying to figure out how to make this work for everybody and work well, and it's taken us a lot of brain time, but we I think we've gotten it figured out. So now it's just a matter of putting all the pieces in place, with the financial piece, of course, being, you know, the last of it, because we had to have all of our ducks in a row. So I guess my whole big spiel is to say, keep an eye out. There is more coming. And it only gets bigger and better every time. So this time we are going to jump in both feet into a great big arena. And as soon as we do, we will give you guys all the information as we get closer. But just know that even though we've put some cute little teasers out there in the past, we are actually much closer to it being a reality than we realize. So we're super excited about that. So just keep an eye on everything having to do with Josie and the Josie Network, and we'll be ready to roll here very, very soon. So we'll have our next guest here coming in soon, and we'll have to reschedule Don Elbrug, so that's no issue. We can go ahead and do that. And then when our next guest comes in, we'll set them all up. We've got some great music for you guys tonight, and some great interviews. We have Nick Sihadjis on tonight. And he has a 45-year career in the music industry, and he has worked with some incredible people, huge standout, and just amazing. Wait till you hear his work. Every time we hear him, we're just absolutely blown away. So we'll have some of his music tonight. We'll get a chance to talk to him about his long and really incredible journey in the music world. So we're super excited about that. So we're happy.
Okay, so really quickly, I want to jump in here because someone had a suggestion that we talk a little bit about the top 5 candies for Halloween. Mm. Yes, so I found America's top 5 most popular Halloween candy. Are you ready? I did. Now, I want to know if y'all agree with this because, so let us know. Okay, so number one, with a sales of $509.85 million, it was introduced in 1928, and that is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, yeah.
That's number one, they said. All right, number 22 is M&M's. Sales $500.82 million, introduced in 1941. Yes, M&M's are number two. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I love M&M's.
She's like, I completely agree. She loves M&M's. All right, number three, with the sales of $456.91 million, introduced in 1930, Snickers. Oh, I love Snickers.
Yeah,
I love Snickers. I do love Snickers. I know one that you like. It's always a fan favorite. Sales $324.63 million, introduced in 1900, Hershey's.
Yeah.
pretty much. And number five. Oh, my goodness. Number five is my favorite.
What is it?
Number five should be number one, y'all. No, it's definitely my number one. So number five, with sales of $306.51 million, introduced in 1935, Kit Kat.
Oh, you love your Kit Kat.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Agreed. And this was from the website Quaker Oats Credit Union, their website. So that's let's give credit where credit's due. Very, very neat website. You can learn so much. But I love it. So that is the top five of Halloween candy. Come on the line and tell us what you think. What do you feel? Do you feel this is accurate?
You know what? You know, you had some of my favorites in there. Like, you know, I really love M&M's, it's true, and I do enjoy a good Kit Kat. Oh, let me see. I don't know. I think I might have to go with, you know, I mean, I love chocolate. I love chocolate.
So
chocolate's like my
favorite. Is there one that's not on the list that you love?
You know, I'm real big on, like, other kinds of candies that are not made of chocolate, too. Like, okay, they have these candy sticks, and you can only get them, it seems, at Halloween time because I can never find them anywhere else. And you have to go to, like, not a really popular store. You have to go to, like, a non-popular store to find these things sometimes. But they're, like right now I've got little Flintstone packs. And they're tiny little Flintstone cardboard boxes, and inside them they've got, like, sugar candy sticks.
They
look like chalk, yes, correct, but they do not taste like it. Not that I've tasted chalk, but I can only guess. But they are sweet and yummy, and I literally eat an entire bag of them. Just one sitting? Yeah, just one sitting. I eat like an entire bag of them for sure. So yeah, I'm big on those. Those are good. Let's see. I like some other candies too. You know what? I love those like flavored sticks. You can find them a lot of times in like Cracker Barrel. They're flavored sticks like root beer flavor stick, peppermint. So I got like different kinds. Like I really love the root beer. That's like awesome. You know,
I'm actually surprised on there that they didn't have just the Suckers. I love Suckers. Like growing up, the ones where they had like Tootsie Rolls inside or gum inside. I'm surprised that's not on the list. I mean, when I was trick or treating a year ago, last year, I was very happy when somebody put a little sucker in my basket. You know what I'm saying? I was very, very excited with that. I'm surprised that is not on the list, actually. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorites. I love Nerds. You know, I do get excited when I see some Nerds. My goodness. There's so many out there, but I'm very surprised those are not on the list. Interesting. But they did say also on this website that the most top-selling chocolate brand, of course, the Hershey brand chocolate, since 1990, but the Hershey's Cookie and Cream is the most recent top-selling chocolate. Cookies and Cream, and that is Matt's favorite.
Really?
Yes, that is my fiance's favorite. Cookies and Cream is the most recent top-selling chocolate, which debuted in 1994.
That's the most top-selling.
Yes, that's what this website says, QuakerOatsCU.com. Give credit where credit's due. But yes, that's what it says. Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting.
Top costumes are this year?
Ooh, top costumes.
Yeah, what are the top costumes this year? That's what I'm curious, because every year it's always something.
Oh, my goodness. I know. I see a lot of really clever Halloween costumes, though. And it definitely gets even more, like, crazy. I feel like people are really going for the very scary, scary costume. Even little kids, they're just like really, really going for the scary, scary stuff. I don't see that many princesses anymore. But let's see here. Best Halloween costume ideas. I need to be checking that out. I need some ideas myself. Very cool. But it looks like our guest may be here. So stay tuned. The next show we'll talk about Halloween costumes, but we're excited to chat with our next guest if they are indeed here. Nada. False alarm, y'all. False alarm. Someone called in, but we do not know who it is. Here, let's see this from halloweencostumes.com. The best adult Halloween costumes 2019. Interesting. So it looks like the Dragon Queen women's costume winter is very popular. The Flintstone, adult Fred Flintstone costume. I could see that. Toy Story, Aladdin costume. X-Men. Very neat, very neat. Oh, someone, there's a Mary Poppins costume. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. This is amazing, y'all. All right, so it looks like our first guest is here. So, everyone, please welcome to the show, Don Elbrecht. Hello.
Hi, Josie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. I want to talk to you a little bit about your music. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about the style of genre of music that you create?
Sure. Well, it kind of covers, you know, a handful of genres. You know, I'd say definitely country, definitely bluegrass, you know, folk and blues. Kind of all mixed in together, lots of, you know, lots of steel, lots of banjo, lots of mandolin and, of course, guitar as well mixed in.
I love it. You are a songwriter and a guitarist. So I want to talk a little bit about, first off, songwriting. So what does your songwriting process look like? When you're getting ready to, you know, do some songwriting, what is the first thing that you do?
Well, sometimes it just varies. Sometimes, you know, it could just be an initial, maybe a theme or an idea that I come up with, and you know, I just go with that theme, you know, in terms of the lyrics. Sometimes I may come up with a melody or a chord progression, and that's what starts the song. And then sometimes I may already have something, you know, written, or at least, you know, maybe a chorus and maybe a first verse. And then I can tie, you know, maybe another musical idea that I already had or had come up with to those lyrics as well. So sometimes it just depends on, you know, maybe something I already have musically or lyrically, or sometimes it just all comes together at once. And those are the real lucky times, you know, that you hope for.
Right. That's what a songwriter hopes for. I love it. So there are many different ways that you put it all into place. And we do have a couple of your songs here that we are going to play tonight. But before we do, awesome. Is there a place where listeners can go to hear or purchase any of your music after they hear it? Where are the best places to find you?
Sure. You can get free downloads at cdbaby.com. It is cdbaby.com, but it would be store.cdbaby.com/Don Elbrecht. There's free downloads they can get on there, as well as CDs and other downloads that they could purchase, but there are free downloads of my original music on there. I have a website, donelbrecht.com, and then I'm also, of course, on Facebook at Don Elbrecht Music.
Perfect. Please check him out, everyone. You will not regret it. Find him on Facebook and all over the place. CD Baby, you know, please make sure you check him out. But we do have a song here that we are going to play right now. Your first song that we're going to play is called A Real Country Song. Can you tell us a little bit about this song before we play it?
Sure. Really, it's just kind of an idea I came up with. You know, growing up and doing a lot of traveling with my dad over the years, when I was younger, he always had, you know, when we locally, you know, we're from Indianapolis, Indiana originally, and so WFMS 95.5 is the country, local country station. Of course, now we have in Franklin, there's 100.3 Corn Country FM as well, but back then it was pretty much primarily 95.5, and that's pretty much what Dad had on the stereo anytime, you know, we were traveling, whether it was to school in the morning, or, you know, in the evening, whatever we were doing. So I was exposed to a lot, you know, different styles of country music. And, you know, it kind of talks about, a real country song typically has, you know, something in it about heartbreak, something in it about, you know, maybe trying to find love again, you know, and needing a friend, things like that. Anything that, you know, that may be typically sung about, you know, it's a little bit tongue in cheek as well. You know, it's kind of a little bit of a funny tone to it as well, even though it's kind of put forward seriously.
Right. Well, let's play it. I know many people are interested in hearing it. So let's play A Real Country Song, and we will be right back in just a moment with more from Don Elbrecht. Okay, here we go.
Awesome.
Hit it.
Thanks so much.
Awesome.
lets you down on your luck, 'cause you can't make a buck. And lately I'm not feeling so strong. No, it ain't a real country song, unless your last dollar's spent and you can't pay the rent and your landlord will come knocking before long. It doesn't make a difference just how hard you try. It doesn't help to get angry. It doesn't help you to cry. So you drop to your knees and look up toward the sky. Somehow, in the end, you get by. It ain't a real country song without a heart that's been broken, with hurt.
With Don Elbrick. That was the song, A Real Country Song. And I wanted to ask if you have any upcoming shows where listeners in that area may be able to come and catch you perform.
Well, presently right now, I just performed this past Saturday, but right now I don't have a current gig booked, but you can certainly check Facebook and also donelbrick.com for any future gigs that I'll have coming up.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes, please make sure you check out the website first and foremost, one-stop shop to check out everything that Don has to offer, all of the latest and greatest news. So stay tuned. And we do have another song of yours here tonight titled Fiddle in the Five. Can you tell us a little bit about this one before we play it?
Sure. Now, this one I would say is probably a pretty straight bluegrass style and features, of course, banjo, fiddle, bass, guitar, mandolin, and it just talks about my love for bluegrass music, and just talks about you know, how also, you know, I just basically, my mom, she went to Butler University and she was a voice major. And as a matter of fact, that's where my dad ended up meeting her because my dad's sister, my Aunt Mary, they were in this, you know, they were in the same classes together. My Aunt Mary went there for voice as well. So, so music is in our blood. And so, I mean, I talk about like the first line talks about, you know, being first exposed to music from the womb. I mean, that's pretty true just because, you know, my mom and as well as my Aunt Mary have always been involved in music. So it just kind of talks about, you know, not just my love for bluegrass music, but love for performing and going to shows and things like that.
Yes. Well, I am so excited to be able to play this song. Here is Fiddle and the Five, and we'll be right back in just a moment. Here we go. Hit it.
Some say home is where the heart is. That's where we all should be. Between the fiddle and the five string, feels like home to me. With the bottom held down by the upright bass, and the mandolin keeps a steady pace. Chimes in a time or two, place to leave. Has some rhythm been turned around out the sound, and a run at each turn around. It's all it takes to make the bluegrass sound complete. I was first exposed to music in the womb. Ever since then I've been totally consumed. Be it my folk, country, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, funk for soul. There's seldom one style of song see stuck in my head. But when it comes to playing or seeing a show, there ain't no place I'd rather go. And very few where I'd like to be instead. Then right smack dab between a fiddle and a five, that's the place to be most alive. Whether in an audience or up on stage, I'm picking in a grinning from a mighty young age. Tell to the radio gateway band. Seems I've always had a guitar in my hand. No matter where I go, I wanna be in the middle, right smack dab between the five and the fiddle. Gives me about the five-string banjo. Once it grabs a hold of me, it won't let go. The fiddle can affect me in a fine way, too. It can pick me up or leave me feeling blue. It all depends upon what style the song is saying. Well, no matter the style or the tempo, it wouldn't be the same without a fiddle or a banjo. Especially if it's a bluegrass song I'm playing. Cause right smack dab between the fiddle and the five, that's the place to feel most alive. Whether in an audience or up on stage, I'm picking in a grinner from a mighty young age. Down to the radio again with the band. Seems I've always had a guitar in my hand. No matter where I go, I wanna be in the middle, right smack dab between the five and the fiddle. Full of bluegrass off and on my knees. Get me out of my seat and on my feet, dancing to that bluegrass beat, to the point where I may very well lose control. I don't need some picking to fill my brain, I think it might just drive me insane. Bluegrass seems to be the essence of my soul. That's why right smack dab between a fiddle and a five, that's the place to feel most alive. Whether in an audience or up on stage, I'm picking in a dinner from a mighty young age. Down to the radio, game with a band. Seems I've always had a guitar in my hand. No matter where I go, I want to be in the middle, right smack dab between the five and the fiddle.
And we're back at the Josie Show. What a fun one. I love that. That is Fiddle in the Five by Don Elbrecht. And we're back with Don right now. And are you currently working on any other projects that you could tell us about? What is going on?
Well, I'm always trying to work on writing. I am a full-time teacher, though, so and a full-time part-time. Full-time teacher. And then we also have my wife and I. And I mentioned to you before, not sure if you remember or not, because I know you've got a lot of folks that that contact you, but my wife's Josie as well. So we have four boys as well. So So it's a busy time, but always trying to write, coming up with ideas. And again, most recently had a free download that I just put out again on cdbaby.com, and it's three live songs from a performance from last January, the Indianapolis Arts Garden. So that's one of those free downloads that people can go get at cdbaby.com. But yeah, definitely working on stuff all the time when I can find time.
Fantastic. And please, everyone, go and check out Don Elbreg everywhere. When in doubt, Google it out is what I always say. Just type in his name and you'll be able to find everything you need to know. And, of course, go to the website. Can you give out your website one last time for us?
Sure. It's donelbreg.com.
Easy enough. Donelbreg.com. Please check him out. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting with me tonight. I appreciate you.
Oh, I certainly appreciate the opportunity. I really do.
Anytime. Thank you. And I hope you have a great rest of your night. Okay. Talk soon.
Well, thanks. You take care.
You too. Don Elbreg, everyone. Bye-bye. All right. Our next guest is here. Everyone, please welcome to the show Travis from an incredible band called Backline. Hello, Travis. You there?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. It's almost the weekend, so a lot better now.
Right? I agree. Well, I'm so excited to have you on because the moment that I heard your band Backline, I completely fell in love. You guys are a bluegrass band, and I wanted to ask who all makes up the band Backline. Please give everybody in the crew shout-outs.
Sure, absolutely. So there's Caitlin Engardia. She's our guitar player and lead singer, also writes most of the songs. We have Milam Williams, who is our mandolin player, and we have Zach Carter, who is our banjo player. We have Jason Ballou on the doghouse bass, and then I play dobro.
Awesome. I love it. How did you all come together to form Backline?
Well, I actually played in a band with Caitlin's daddy when Caitlin was just a kid. Well, she's still just a kid, but when she was much younger, she was about 15 years old or so, and her dad was a banjo player, is a banjo player, and I played with they're a gospel bluegrass band, the King James Boys, and so I got to know her that way, and Zach, I met him when he was a kid, learning to play banjo, and then Jason, the bass player, and myself, we go to church together, and Milam, he's a local guy that we've known for years, and he just recently came on board about almost a year ago, so we're all just, you know, within, 20 miles or so of each other, so.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's very convenient. You guys need to, do some writing or whatever. You guys are so close to each other, and I love that you guys are actually, friends. Y'all have known each other for quite some time, so I think that's why the music, why it really clicks with all of you, and you guys have a new album that's out titled Salem Town, so y'all are doing really, really well.
Oh, well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So I wanted to ask a little bit about Salem Town. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind this album, the songs on this album. Tell us a little bit about Salem Town.
Okay, sure. Yeah. The title track, Salem Town, actually, Zach Carter, the banjo player, he went to East Tennessee State University and played in the Pride Band and everything while he was there. But anyway, he got the idea and had the chorus and the melody and everything for Salem Town and, about the witch trials and all that. And he just kind of set it on the back burner. And I guess several years ago, and we got together, I want to say it was early 2018, and we sat down and he was like, man, I got this idea. And he kind of played the melody and kind of gave us the chorus there, and we sat there as a band and wrote the song. And it took us about an hour or so. And, that was our first co-write as far as a lyric, a song with lyrics. And our first band write, I guess I should say. But there's that one. A lot of songs on it that Caitlin had written through the years that we've been performing. And when we signed with Mountain Fever Records back last year, the end of last year, you know, we started trying to put, you know, songs together, like what, you know, what we're gonna put on this album. And it just kind of, I don't know, like I said, there were songs that we were already doing, and they just kind of flowed. It's like, this song, you know, just kind of picking one song and the next. And then Caitlin's dad, we recorded a song that a gospel song that he wrote. And then Milam, excuse me, Milam's a writer too, and we put two songs on there that he wrote. And and then Miss Paula Breedlove wrote Rosemary, which is the, I think it's the last track on the album. And it just kind of all flowed, and we liked the songs that were on it, so that's just what we went with. And it was a lot of fun heading up to Virginia and recording that. And so we've had a good time with it.
I could tell, and I love how it all just flown together. It just all clicked. And we do have the title track of this latest album of Backline called Salem Town. So let's play it right now, and we'll be right back. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Stay right with us. Here we go. Salem Town.
Touch of the hand, was it really there? I grew up here and I worked the land, learned how to deal with these callous hands. They had me cut the timber down that laid the witches deep in the ground. Can you hear the distant monster? Can you hear the dreadful sound? On the night
We're back at the Josie Show with Travis of the incredible bluegrass band Backline. That was Salem Town, which is the title track of their brand new album. And we're so excited for the song. We're so excited about this album. And where can our listeners out there go to purchase this brand new album? Where can they go?
You can go to BacklineSC, that stands for SouthCarolina.com, or you can go to iTunes or, you know, any of your digital media to get that. And before I forget, I failed to mention Mr. Clint White. That's our new fiddle player. He actually tracked fiddle on a couple songs on this album, and just as a guest. And then we recently, just with the past month or so, brought him on board as well as our fiddle player. So we're a full 6-piece band now.
Nice. I love it. The family just expands. I love that. That's incredible. And y'all sound great.
Oh, appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Anytime. And I wanted to ask if you have any upcoming shows where listeners in that area can come and catch you perform.
Sure. We'll be playing the Anderson Bluegrass Festival is actually going on right now in Anderson, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. It started today and it's going through Saturday. And we're playing Saturday, and I guess the headliner Saturday evening will be Dalian Vincent. And but there's a, you know, 4 or 5 bands, great bands that'll be there Saturday. And again, there'll be bands there tomorrow as well. I don't have the flyer in front of me, or I can tell you who I was going to be there.
Right.
That's coming up this weekend. So
perfect. And I know you guys are on social media, so people can be able to find all your latest and greatest there, and where you're playing next, and new music, all that. So can you give out all of your links?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us on Facebook at look up Backline there, and then I know my wife handles a lot of that. Well, all of that stuff really, but Twitter. I want to say it's Backline Blue, and then Instagram as well. Caitlin handles that, but I have no idea what to even tell you how to look it up. But I'd imagine you can search Backline and find it. Maybe have to throw bluegrass in there with it or something. But yeah,
yes, absolutely. Perfect.
Love for some folks to you know, hit us up on those social medias and say hey, and you know where they're from. We actually just did a thing, I don't know, a few weeks back, and says, you know, hey, how did you first hear about Backline, and let us know where you're from. I mean, we had so many responses that was just amazing. You know, we're just a little band from a little small town, and you know, have people from North Dakota chiming in saying, oh, you know, I heard you on Sirius or wherever. You know, it's just really cool.
That is so cool. That is very, very neat. I mean, y'all deserve the recognition and the attention, because you guys are just an incredible bluegrass band, and you all work so well together. You know, I've seen live performances, and y'all are just so great. So everyone needs to go and check you guys out. You know, Backline, you could type in bluegrass Backline, they'll be able to find you there. And so please make sure you go and check them out. You will not regret it. And we do have another song here that we're going to play before we go. Here is Heartbreak, okay? And we'll be right back. I'm excited. All right, here we go. the Joe Show with Travis of the wonderful band Backline. And please make sure you check out their website, backlinebluegrass.com, for all of the latest, greatest. And Travis, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you. I appreciate you having us on.
Anytime, anytime. And we'll talk with y'all real soon. And I hope you have a great rest of your night, okay?
Thank you, ma'am. You too.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Good night.
Love it, love it. Backline, they're incredible, an incredible bluegrass band. And I'm so excited to see what they have up in the future, you know, what's next in their career. So please make sure you go and check out their website for all of the latest and greatest. All right, backlinebluegrass.com. All right, up next is our wonderful, wonderful guest, Nick Sihadjis. Hello.
Hi, Josie. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Anytime, anytime. So I'm very excited to talk to you because your career spans far and wide. I'm talking like 45 years, I believe, I saw.
Yes,
so you have
been a while.
Yes, yes, yes. So you've been doing your thing, and I have to say, you are a musical genius. I'm just saying it. I'm saying it right now. You really are. And I wanted to ask you how making music all started for you.
You know what? Basically, when you were growing up in our area, in fourth grade, you picked an instrument to learn. So it's like, what do you want to pick? You played in the band in grammar school and went into high school. My instrument I wanted to learn was the drums. That was met with by my parents with a pick something else. So I picked the trumpet. And I played the trumpet all through grammar school, high school, and college. So that was the first thing I started with right there.
Wow, that is interesting. That is very cool. I mean, you do it all. I mean, you're an incredible singer, songwriter, and piano player. You are actually in Chicagoland known as the piano man. So can you tell us a little bit about how you learned to play piano and many other instruments as well? I mean, you wear many hats.
Well, growing up, there was a piano in the house. So basically around the time that the Beatles were big, I was sit down at the piano and I would plunk out things like Let It Be or, you know, Hey Jude, things like that. Teach myself how to play Elton John songs. I even recorded some of the Peanuts specials off of television and learned how to play those. Just off the cassettes. Yeah. So, and then, when I was like just started high school, I started even writing songs. I found it to be interesting. So that's how that started.
Wow.
And then everything else, I just, you know, started picking things up because I was interested. I taught myself how to play the flute, the guitar, and my first instrument in a band was actually a bass guitar. So that's how I started that.
Wow. Look at that. That is very cool. And you have, you know, performed all over the place. You actually have an incredible story early on in your music career with your band at the time. I hope I do not puncture this. Ruffian, am I saying that right?
Yep, it was called Ruffian.
I love it. And Paul Anka. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Ruffian started out in 1974 as a band called Stagger. And we were together for about 10 years. We got to a point where we finally got enough money up to get ourselves a decent demo tape. We went into Pumpkin Studios, which was run by Gary Loizzo, who also produced Styx. And he used to be the singer in the American Breed. So we did some stuff with him. We did a nice demo tape, and that caught the attention of our manager, whose name was Joe Crispino. And Joe took us to the next level. He got us involved with A&M Records, and they got us to open up for some acts. We did an audition for Columbia, and Columbia liked the band, but they said they wanted to see a lead singer in the band. So while we were pining over that thought, our manager came back and said, you know what, forget about Columbia. Paul Anka is interested in the band. He wants to sign you guys to a recording contract, bring you out to his house, and record an album. So
that's incredible.
That was pretty surreal.
Yes, that is a surreal moment right there. I mean, it's just a legend. Paul Anka, come on now. Everybody knows who that is. I think that is so, so cool. But I also want to mention you played many Chicago Fests, which is huge. You opened for acts like the Ramones, Bryan Adams, and Survivor, just to name a few. So can you tell us a little bit about those experiences for you? I mean, to open up for acts like that, what is that experience?
Yeah, that's when we were trying to get with A&M Records. There was a local guy named Bobby Tarantino who was an A&R record guy for A&M, and he would get us to open up for these acts. So we opened up for the Ramones. I think it was at the University of Illinois. That was probably the most nerve-wracking one because you don't know what the New Orleans crowd's going to think of us. We were not a heavy rock band. We were kind of like jazz rock, if anything. And the crowd really liked us. I mean, it was a very great moment. Opening up for Bryan Adams, he was brand new to the scene. He played at the Park West in Chicago. So he hadn't yet become a big name, but that was still pretty cool. We opened up for Greg Kent a few times, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so, so neat. I think that is the neatest thing ever. You know, not many people are able to say that they opened up for these incredible, I mean, legendary acts. And I think that's really cool that you have that to kind of add to your resume of things that you've done. And, you know, and I've seen a video of a performance that you all did as Ruffian, and I was blown away. And I have to ask, who were all the players in Ruffian at the time, if you don't mind me asking?
The bass player was my brother-in-law and one of my best friends. Well, actually, we were all like brothers in the band. But Jim Zito, that's met my wife Phyllis. It was her brother. The drummer was Frank Nadil, who was extremely talented, great ear, and he did most of the lead singing in the band. He had a great voice. And then the guitar player was Kevin Rathundi, who was also very talented as a songwriter. And it was just the four of us. That was it.
Y'all clicked, too. I mean, y'all sounded great together.
It was
a really big sound, which we love, you know, and y'all were amazing. But, I mean, definitely, you know, fast forward to present day, you perform with your group now, Billy and the Jets. Can you tell us a little bit about this group and the music you all play together?
Billy and the Jets started out as a Billy Joel tribute band. A friend of mine that runs Arcata Theater, Ron Onesti, said, why don't you put together a Billy Joel tribute band? Because I would open up for X once in a while at his theater, and I'd play Billy Joel stuff. And he said, you should put together a tribute band. So I did. And then we decided, let's make it more interesting. So we threw in Elton John, which is where the name Billy and the Jets came from. So now we do Billy Joel and Elton John. And it's going over really well. People love it. They sing along to every single song. It's great.
That is so neat. So is there a specific song out there that people really just go crazy for? song that people, you know, the crowd's going to get going.
Well, obviously Piano Man. As soon as you start playing it with the harmonica and everything, they go nuts. And they all sing every word.
I could see that. I could see that. And you do so many things. I'm surprised that, you know, I don't know how you sleep. But you also perform solo as the Piano Man. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I do a thing. It's called the Chicago's Own Piano Man. And what that lets me do is I expand beyond the Billy John stuff, and I do other artists like Jerry Lee Lewis, Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, and, you know, other piano players that I've always been inspired by. So that's kind of fun for me. And it's nice because I play in a lot of the local places here, and it's a nice crowd. So it's a good time.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. And you're so good. I mean, we've been fortunate enough to hear you play a couple of times. And all I keep saying at the end of each night, really, is you are truly a musical genius. I mean, your fingers go flying on those keys. I can barely even see them. it's the absolute best of the best. And I can't wait to share what you do with my listeners. So I have a couple songs tonight to play of yours. The first is titled Faded Pictures. Can you tell us a little bit about this song before we play it?
Sure. I wrote this one with a friend of mine called Mike Malanafy. He was a guitar player. And he just came up to me with some chords and said, well, what can we do with this? And I started thinking about it. I came up with a melody, and then I thought, I don't want to say the same thing that we always say in a song, you know, the old love song. I want to try something different. So I came up with the whole concept of a woman who had lost her love at war, and all she had left of him was pictures that she kept in like a little box. And over time, the pictures faded, so all she had left was these faded pictures of her love. So that's what it's about, basically.
Oh, well, I'm so excited to have everyone be able to hear it here tonight. So let's play Faded Pictures right now, and we'll be right back with more from the incredible, talented Nick Sihadjis. So here we go. Hit it. Faded Pictures.
At home, she sits alone while holding on to faded pictures. And every night she dreams in black and white from staring at those faded pictures. a man had touched the soul. His face was in those faded pictures. He went to war and left to want him more, but all that's left are faded pictures.
And we're back at the Josie Show with Nick Sihajis, and that was Faded Pictures. Now, Nick, we have a surprise caller for you, all right?
Okay.
All right, let's bring him on. Surprise caller.
Hi, Nick. How you doing, buddy?
You know, I knew it would be you, Jimmy. I was going to mention you, too, but now you've ruined it.
Oh, no.
How you doing, guy?
No, I've been seeing the advertisements. I wanted to call in to say congratulations for being on the Josie Show. They're great people. I love them both, and I love you, too, and I love your wife. Well, I can't say I love your wife, but I love Phyllis, too. So
sure
that's
can.
That was. I love everybody.
Yeah,
no, I just wanted
are.
To call in, say hi to you, and congratulate you for being on the show tonight.
Thanks. I miss you, brother.
All right. We'll have to get a show going again sometime soon.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right. Thank you, Tina and Josie. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jimmy. Talk soon.
All right.
That was a nice surprise.
Right? How sweet was that? For people who don't know, Jimmy Parker is actually the one that introduced us to you. He had a great show going on with you at the Arcata, right? And it was sold out. It went so well. And then the next day, you did a really great show for St. Jude's. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That was so much fun.
St. Jude, yeah. My wife and I are involved in St. Jude all the time, and this was a show that was put on by some other people that asked us to perform. And all the artists that were there obviously were donating their time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely what we did with that one. We've done a few shows of our own as well for memorial concerts, things like that.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into the St. Jude thing now? Because I could tell you a little more about it.
Yes, I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, yes, if you can. I mean, you've done so much fundraising over the years for an organization that's close to our hearts. So
it started in 2015. My brother-in-law passed away, and we decided that we wanted to have a memorial concert for him. And we put all the proceeds from the concert went to St. Jude. Well, the first time it went to Oak Park School of Rock for kids who couldn't afford the tuition there. I mean, there's a lot of talented kids out there who just can't afford to get the education. So that was the first year. Then after that, since then, we've done it for St. Jude's every time. We visited St. Jude's in Nashville, which was a thrill for me. I mean, what an unbelievable place that is. It's just incredible for the children. And we've also auctioned off guitars. We were lucky enough to get celebrities to sign guitars for us. We've auctioned them off as well at different affairs at the Arcata Theater. Ron's been walling up, you know, great with the auctions. He gets the numbers up there. He wound up getting $4,000 for one guitar one night. And there were two people bidding against each other, and he turned to us, and he turned to them and said, listen, if I can get each one of you a guitar with same signatures, will you both be willing to pay for it? And they said yes. So he turned to us and said, go get another guitar. So it was during a Cornerstones of Rock concert. We ran to the Guitar Center, bought another guitar, brought it back, had all the people at the show sign it, and I wound up selling the two guitars, auctioning for $8,000. So that was really nice.
That is so nice. Oh, I love what you do. You know, for them. I mean, you create music, and it's for such a great cause. And that was the show that I was able to go to. I you know, event for St. Jude's that you were a part of, and you know, Jimmy Parker performed as well. So I'm glad that we got to mention that. And I wanted to ask you real quick: is there a place where our listeners can go to purchase any of your music that they hear tonight? Where's the best place to find you?
Not yet. It's not actually officially on anything, but it will be over the next couple of months. I'm trying to put something together, not only to release a CD, but also try to maybe put some backlog of stuff out there on iTunes and CD Baby, things like that. So it will be soon enough, and trust me, once it is, my wife will put it all over her Facebook, so everybody will know.
Perfect, perfect. Yes, that was actually one of my questions, because you are working on a brand new CD. So I'm so excited about that. You have to let us know. We would love to have you back on to talk about it.
Like to have you at the CD release party, for sure. I'll invite you and the mom and dad, too.
Yes, yes. We're there.
Okay,
that
sounds
would be
good.
Amazing. We would love it. We would love it, for sure. And do you have any upcoming shows where listeners in the area can come and catch you perform?
Probably not until January. I'm going to take the next couple months and work on the original stuff with the players. I'm putting together a band to record this stuff and to play the music. And I may as well mention those guys. The drummer, his name is Bill Glisson. Bass player's name is Greg Brucker. And on guitar, I've got Guido Neri. These are all really talented guys, and I'm looking forward to putting these things down. I'm re-recording some of these things, and I want to play them out live.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm doing for the next couple months. But come January, we're probably going to be out playing with Billy and the Jets again. Look for us at like Club Arcata Speakeasy and 210 Live, possibly even Flow out in Geneva. So stuff out west, stuff out north. So we'll definitely be out there. Maybe it'll be on Facebook.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, first and foremost, please make sure you go and find Nick on Facebook. Can you please give out all of your websites and
sure.
all your pages for us?
It's all Facebook pages. I've got Chicago's Own Piano Man, which no matter what I'm doing, it'll be on that page. There's also Billy and the Jets, and I've got another one called Street of Dreams Productions, and you've seen the Street of Dreams Productions. So those are the three that I've got. But Chicago's Own Piano Man is the easiest one to remember, and I'll have everything posted on there.
Perfect, perfect. Please make sure you check it out. You will not regret it. And another
thank
thing
so
I want to
much.
Mention, because you're very welcome. You're very welcome. I'm so happy that you are here to chat a little bit, because it's just so much fun. I mean, you've done so many different things, and we're not even done yet. I mean, you've also played. It's crazy. You've done so many things in your career, but you've also played for Anheuser-Busch events, which must have been so much fun. Tell us about that, because I'm sure that got exciting.
Well, that started out with us. A friend of mine was booking things for Anheuser-Busch and asked us if we wanted to be bartenders in the shows that they do, like at the McCormick Place. So we started out as bartenders, and I got a bunch of musician friends of mine that I play with, because, you know, at the time we had our days available. When they found out we were musicians, they said, hey, why don't you guys sing while you're at it? So it started where we were just singing a cappella behind the bar, and I came up with some parody lyrics for old 50s songs and some old Motown songs, and we'd sing about Bud Light as opposed to My Girl and things like that. And they wound up taking us around the country. They took us to the different shows in Vegas and Dallas and the ones that we did here in Chicago, and it was just a great time. It really was a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. And I love that you're able to kind of like parody and do some fun things like that. I mean, which isn't surprising because you have written and produced jingles for many different companies. And that's kind of a whole different bird. That's sometimes a little difficult. Can you tell us a little bit about your work there?
Sure. I mean, I've done a few different things. Not everything's been accepted. But the one that really sticks out in my mind is a product called the Study Game. It was an educational game. And it was an educational kid for children, and a lot of sports people were sponsoring it. Billie Jean King on it. The one I remember the most was Joe Montana. They did an event at the Empire Room, and when I recorded this song, I had my son, who I think was 5 at the time, do this whole middle section that he sang along with, and I had him do it over and over and over again, so it sounded like it was a whole bunch of kids. So when we did it live, we got a bunch of kids to come out and do the middle part and do a dance to it and everything. And these kids were waiting for the longest time to go out and perform, and they were getting antsy and everything else. And when Joe Montana showed up at the Palmer House, which is where we were doing this in the Empire Room, the first thing he did was go to the kids. I mean, he ignored everybody else, went right to the kids and just started signing their shirts and their shoes and pictures, whatever they had. He was wonderful. What a wonderful guy he was. I have nothing but respect for Joe Montana. Great guy. And it was just fun to do that.
Yes, what a great time. And so many incredible experiences you've had, over the years. And I'm excited to see what is next for you. I know that, you know, you're going to be rocking it and doing some new music and many more performances in your future. So we're really excited to see what is next for you. And we're actually going to close out the show with your next song titled Tell Me. So can you tell us a little bit about this song before we close out the show with it?
I threw this one at you because this is like one of the first songs I ever wrote. It was back when we were young in the band, and we were like maybe 20 years old, and it was kind of like, we need to write a pop song, something that's going to be a hit, something that's got a hook, something that's going to grab the people, something that's going to make us stars. So I wrote this totally with the thought in mind that this is going to be a pop song. So that's what this is, a nice, simple, fun pop song.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited for everyone to hear it. So we're definitely going to close out the show with that. Tell Me. And Nick, I want to thank you so, so much for coming on the show and chatting with me. And you're welcome back anytime.
Oh, thank you, Josie. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I hope you have a great rest of your night. Okay. And please tell Phyllis I say hey.
I will. You too. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, he's incredible. Nick Sihajis, please make sure you find him on Facebook. He is wonderful, such a talented guy, and a lot of fun too. He's such a great dude. He's awesome. I'm telling you, in my head, he is already my friend, okay? Let's just say that right now, we are already friends, him, I, Phyllis, because we did have we were attending a party at their house, so that makes us friends, right? Let's just say that. And they were just so kind. They sang happy birthday to my mom, and which was very sweet because their birthday is the same day, Nick and my mom's. Who knew? That was really cool. And Elvis was there. Matt got to perform, which was really cool, and he rocked it. And we got to see like a Joan Rivers impersonator who was incredible. I laughed my bootay off. So it was a great time. It was a great time. We absolutely love, love, love them. So I'm excited to hear what is next for Nick. And I want to thank you all so much for joining us tonight. And thank you to our incredible guests, Don Elbrecht, Backline, and Nick Sihajis. We wish you all a happy Halloween next Thursday night. And we will be back on November 7th with our guest that night, Willie Trawick. So pop that in your calendar. Do not miss it. Remember, 7:00 p.m. Central Standard Time. And until next time, remember, sometimes you have to make the hard decision to follow your dreams, but remember to give it all you got, make great friends along the way, and enjoy the whole journey. Good night, everyone. Now here is to close us out on the show, Nick Sihajis and his song, Tell Me.
Blue Creek Production, audio and visual creative studios, home of the 2018 JMA's Album of the Year. Video Production Company of the Year.
Just to hold you, just to feel you, tells me everything's all right when I'm near.
And Modern Country Group of the Year.
And dip, or grab a cocaine and sip, or baby let's shake our hips.
Let us help you take your music career, your film, or your brand to the next level. Our services include music production and sound design, video production and graphic design, digital media marketing, and custom apparel. Our vision is your vision. Contact us today and learn more at BlueCreekProduction.com.